I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Find the perfect space for your business with DRK & Company Realty. Flexible office suites are available. Employees and clients benefit from free parking, front door access, and walkable dining, retail, and hotels at the Polaris Lifestyle Center. Managed by DRK & Company Realty, one of Central Ohio's most trusted leaders, this safe, well-maintained property offers dedicated on-site management and responsive maintenance. Grow your business at an address designed for success at 470 Old Worthington Road. Visit drk-realty.com to learn more.
The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
This is the John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Welcome to Bianca the Fox's cooked off socks underneath the Brooklyn Suspension Bridge.
He won't call it that though, John, will he? He'll call it something else, like...
I will call it.
Like, now that we're all off air and mistakes can be made, not that they weren't made live, but they're not career-ending, I would like you both to say, as fast as you can, Bianca the Fox's cooked off socks.
Bianca the Fox's cooked off socks.
Bianca the Fox's cooked off socks.
Yeah, lovely. All right, we all survive another week. That's, of course, Will and Lindsay, who were here for today's show. It's a very nice one. We had a right old laugh and we didn't talk about anything that is in the news that is depressing. So what more can I say than that? If you want to just forget what's going on in the world, enjoy the podcast. Welcome along. Happy Saturday. It's John Richardson here with Lindsay Santoro.
I thought it was meant to have a noise there, Will.
Yeah, I thought there might be a noise.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's sort of a straight away or not at all thing on that one, Will.
Yeah, the fact I have to ask for it. Where's my noise?
How are you?
I'm okay, thank you very much. I'm not too bad. It's a nice time. It's a nice day.
Is it? Are you sure? Have you checked?
Everybody just got up.
It's too early, isn't it? It's too early.
You went to say it's a nice day and then you bottled out of that and then you oddly broadened it out to just it's a nice time. And I think that's the one thing we would all agree on as a society is that it's not a nice time.
I don't function well before 12 o'clock.
Well, that's why this show exists. But we start with a little tidy up of last week. So if you couldn't be with us for last week's show, here is the highlight as chosen by producer Will.
Ruffly. Can I add some context?
That is Susie Ruffle creating the soundtrack to her own feature, Ruffling Feathers, where Susie Ruffle says something controversial. And I invited her to come up with a theme tune, and that's what she came up with.
That's nice, I like it. She's a very talented lady.
It's not a Lindsay Santoro piece.
No,
there's nothing about shoehorns or cans of Coke on the nightstand.
I'll write her a jingle. I'll write her her own jingle. She can have
Would
one
you please?
Mine,
yeah. Do you want some time or do you want to do it now?
What's it, Ruffling Feathers?
Ruffling Feathers.
Well, I like what she's got, so maybe that could be like a bass to it, like in the Will can edit it, and then just me over the top going, feathers being ruffled, she's ruffling them all up, she's rubbing the cat the wrong way, she's ruffling up the mat. Thank you.
I love it. Yeah.
I was just thinking of things you can rub but that can go the
Yeah,
wrong
rubbing
way.
The cat the wrong way.
Rubbing the cat the wrong way.
Now, we had a little text chat last week, which I'm going to say it backfired. It started off with a funny little thing about backhanded compliments and harsh things that your mums have said to you. It was Mother's Day Eve, so we thought, let's go the other way with it and let's have a day to celebrate the awful things that mothers sometimes say to their kids. Lots of them, it turns out, were unbroadcastable and led to long-term family rifts. But Kevin got in touch during the week with just one more.
Hi, John. I know you mentioned backhanded compliments last week and insults you've had from your mum. and it reminded me that back in 1980, as a 12-year-old, I was besotted by Phil Oakley, the lead singer of the Human League. I wanted to have his really cool haircut, where one side was much longer than the other, but my hair wasn't quite long enough. I had this great idea of going to Smithy, the barber's in Tottenham High Road, and asking him to shave one side of my head up to the parting so that the other side would grow down accordingly. I came back home and my mum took one look at me and she just walked out of the house. About 20 minutes later, she came back and she threw a bag onto my lap and inside was a hat. I asked what it was for and she told me that it was the only way that I'd be safe at school. Thanks, Mum. Thanks, John. Bye. Kevin from Chingford.
At least she's helping him.
Yeah, that's it.
She's helping him.
It's not that I'm disappointed. It's that you are now in physical danger.
You're going to die.
Yeah. What a slam that is. Susie Ruffle ruffled some feathers last week, claiming that ale was disgusting and people only pretend to like it. There were mixed reviews, none as unique as Kimberly's.
Hi, John. I was listening to the show last Saturday. I heard Susie trying to ruffle some feathers by saying ale was disgusting. And I've got to say, I completely disagree. I never got over that first taste of lager where it tastes like fizzy bile. Whereas ale, I like that. And I still drink it to this day. See if that ruffles any feathers back. Thank you, Kimberly Worthing.
Oh.
Why can't people just drink Malibu and Coke? But I do think that ale good tastes like pound coins and... It's just
pound coins and fizzy bile. Yeah. It's been a lovely morning for the industry. I like the idea of people ruffle. That's a little retort, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you ruffle in return? You mentioned there that you're angry with me about something.
Me? What about...
Yeah, you're cross with me.
Yes. So there's an app that your child uses that I thought, oh, that looks quite good. I might get that for my daughter.
Yes. And, it's a game, by the way.
It's a little game. Am I allowed to mention the little game? It's called Tucker Bucker. It's like a little doll's house. But it's all free, but there's certain things you have to buy. And what happened was my daughter has worked out that on the iPad, if she presses the two buttons at the side to pay for something and holds it to my face, it will just purchase everything. So sometimes I'm on the sofa and she just runs up and whacks the iPad in front of me. And, spent £70 on a pixelated hospital.
Well, I've got news for you. It gets worse because there's that bit where they learn that they can just hold the phone to your face and it pays for stuff. Then you get to a point where they learn how to go into settings and add their own Touch ID to your devices.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You get to a point where you don't even see it being done. At least when you get mugged, you've got to admire the bravery of it. Well, at least you've faced up to me and taken my money face to face. It's just like checking your bank statement. And go, oh, right, I've been hacked. I've been hacked from inside. Yeah. You think a hospital is bad. I don't know what my daughter's got on there now, given my bank statements, but I assume she's got a fully automated world that she can step into whenever she wants.
It's quite not terrifying, but like it's very vast. There's at least 12 lands, like, and there's a lot of vets and a waterfall. I am overwhelmed with it.
This is where the cuteness of it is a problem, because it's just a nice place to be. Everybody's nice to each other because they're not at that age yet where they're playing. Like, did you ever play Sim City?
I still play The Sims, the normal Sims.
Do you still play The Sims?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get this? I've not played The Sims, but I used to play Sim City, and at least every now and again, there'd just be like an alien attack or something, and everything you'd built would get destroyed. And it would teach you the fundamental lesson that all effort is pointless and that anything you craft will be destroyed.
Everything's making so much sense now. Like,
everything
about
you
as
care
a person.
About.
Like, why everything does he hate so much? It's because of Sim City.
It's because there was one alien. I just built that hydroelectric dam and it was feeding the town up lovely, and I had a perfect balance of industrial and residential and recreational, and then it all got taken away from me. And they don't have that with this Tucker world. It's just, it's all nice all the time.
No,
and they're all
can't.
Really sweet to each other, and they have concerts. Mm-hmm. And they can even they can design posters of things they're doing. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm hooked on it myself, but I have been known to go on it when she's not here.
Yeah, I've done it too.
Have you?
My daughter, I ended up on it because she accidentally flushed a cat down the toilet. Because if you flush something down the toilet in Tucker Buckerland, it goes forever.
Oh, no, yeah, okay. I thought you said you'd put her on the game because she flushed your real cat down the toilet.
No, sorry, do you know what?
Let's have some screen time. This has to stop now, this reign of terror.
She flushed the cat and I was like, I'm going to work out where the cat's gone because surely it can't go forever. Yeah. And then I was like, she's actually very... There's little secret rooms you can open. And
yeah, it's really nice.
But is it worth £70?
It's a dear do. It's not worth 70 quid. But what is... call me, text me. What have you ever bought that you haven't regretted? Anyway, I'm supposed to be joyful on a Saturday morning, but I'm not that kind of human being. And I assume that's why you're here, because if you didn't like that, you'd be listening to one of them other stations where I was like, hi guys, sun shining, let's get out there and smash that 10K.
I don't like that, it's making me feel ill.
Awful, isn't it?
Don't do that.
I've been mainly doing Hannibal Lecter voices this week. It shows you where my head's at. Coming up soon on Absolute Radio, I love you, but or else you'll get the hose again. It's a seated John Richardson joined by a squatting Lindsay Santoro.
Why have you mentioned it?
I've never seen anyone make the decision. I'm all for standing. I got taught it when I was a sales rep. Always take calls standing. It gives your voice a natural authority that will end the call quicker. And I've carried that on in two phone calls I make with loved ones. You also start the call by saying, I haven't got long, I've got to blah-de-blah, blah, and then you set the parameters for the call. Anyway, it was a depressing time and I'm glad to be out of it. However, I appreciate you standing up to give your voice an authority. And when you said you were going to stand up, I said, great. I said, you can lift the mic up if you like. And you said, no, I prefer to squat. So you've made the decision to stand, but at the same height you were seated, which feels like you're mocking me, to be honest.
Sometimes you've just got to, move your body a bit. It's early, you've got to get the... What are them things? Lactic acid. Is that a word? Lactic.
Yeah, that's what you get after you exercise.
Yeah. This is what I'm getting it. I'm getting it moving.
You're building up the lactic acid.
I'm moving my acid about.
Do you still get, the Mr. Motivators and the Green Goddess and all that? Does that still happen on telly? Don't feel like it does.
No, but they're all on TikTok now, aren't they?
How are they?
They come on and shout at you.
Do you want that to be your thing then? Do you want that to be your sort of radio thing where you just encourage people to squat for the next 5 minutes?
Yeah, I think I could do that. I could do some exercise. I'm not an exercise person. I don't do anything. So maybe I could, a lazy person's going to squatting.
Maybe you could. For those who feel couch to 5K is a little bit, you could do couch to squat.
Is 5K far?
It's about 5 kilometres. What's that? 3.2 miles, something like that.
Maybe. I think I could do that.
I believe in you, Lindsay. Mm. Do you want a challenge?
I'll do 5K.
You're gonna do 5K. What? Before you're in next, you'll run 5K.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah.
All right. How many K do you want me to run between now and when I see you next?
28.
Right. All right. Five versus two. How has that happened there? I was only going into I love you, but. I'll run 28K before I next see you.
And I'll do... How do you know I'm not lying? How do I know you don't lie?
Because why would we? I can screenshot it on my app and show you exactly what I've done.
What pace is acceptable?
Oh, no, don't worry about pace, mate. That's not what it's about. You just cover that distance. You can walk it if you like.
I don't even have any trainers. Do you think I can do it in boots?
Yeah. Oh, if you do it in Doc Martens, it counts double.
Okay, fine. All right, we'll get that done.
I'm going to do mine in my stilettos. It's time for I Love You But. It's one shout out a week, but it's got to have something nasty about the person that you want to shout out for. It's a sort of unique thing that we do because I'm a nasty little goblin man. Anyway, this week it comes from Denise.
Hi, John. Thanks for giving me this week's one and only dedication. This week I'd like to give it to my mum. Mum, thank you very much for everything you've done for me and all of us, and a very happy Mother's Day for last week. I love you very, very much, but as a woman in your late 90s, please just start taking it a little bit easier. The idea that on your 98th birthday in January this year, you asked us to ride on the back of a Harley Davidson bike and actually did it. It's amazing, really amazing, but very scary. Please just relax a little bit. You're a brilliant mum and you've earned it. From your loving daughter, Denise, and all the family.
Oh, once again, not sure I agree.
I don't agree. No, man. Denise's mum should be doing bungee jump.
98 years old, if riding a Harley is what's keeping you going,
yeah.
I'd say bucking the wall of death.
I think when you stop, that's when it'll get you. You can pop off at any minute. Look at me. I'm running 5K now.
That's what that's why I've never started. Everyone says that. When you stop, right, I'm never starting then. I'll just coast on fumes from the very beginning.
Coast on fumes.
Relax a little bit, she's saying, but I would say whatever you're doing, it's obviously
Denise,
working.
No, Denise, his mum, carry on.
Yes. Keep do you want going. To do your little song?
Denise's mum has got it going on.
There you go. Thank I think you. It would have been weird if I said that. Anyway, this is for Denise's mum. If you want a slightly mean shout-out on next week's show, get in touch now, johnabsoluteradio.co.uk. It's that time of the week when we discuss news that wasn't in the news, that could, would, or should have been in the news.
What you got?
This, off the back of you saying you're going to go for your first 5K run.
Yeah.
Headline here is, I'll carry on until I can't walk. I thought you might like that.
Is it me from the future?
It's a very poetically written news article, this one. At 7 o'clock on a Monday morning, a village paperboy is doing his rounds. High-vis vest and yellow bag standing out against a grey blanket of fog. But when Colin Bradley finishes his deliveries, he will not be heading to school because the school he went to has long been converted into houses. Because Colin is 79 years old.
Ooh.
It's like a short story, isn't it?
I like that. That's very Colin's well written.
East Yorkshire, Retund, I think. Well Retund, yeah. 79-year-old paperboy. He says, there's nothing I don't like about the job, he says in his rich Yorkshire accent. If I get wet, I get wet. I don't like wearing waterproofs because you sweat too much. I'll try not to make it too sexy.
I know, yeah. I'm keeping quiet.
Colin was a farm worker and lorry driver before becoming a paperboy a decade ago. I guess it's one of those keeping busy things, isn't it, that we discussed earlier around Denise's 98-year-old mum riding around on a Harley Davidson.
I don't think that's keeping busy.
Driving around on a Harley Davidson.
That's not keeping busy. That's madness.
It's something to do, isn't it?
I've got nothing to do. I'm just driving a motorbike up the A38. Keep myself busy.
He's married, is Colin. That might be part of why he wants to get up at five and leave the house. He says his wife, Frieda, did not mind, but told him, do you realise how old you are to start doing a paper round? So that sounds like a really healthy, happy relationship. I'm going to get up at five and walk around the estate in shorts in the rain. What do you think? I think you're old. It's just a lovely, it's just two happy people.
I bet he clatters about when he gets up. I bet he does that out of spite, because I would. When I get up early, I'd bang around on purpose, kick the bed when I get out of it.
Off to work.
Drop the toothbrush in the sink twice, pull the shower curtain down, tangle myself in it, go, I'm stuck in the town then again. It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Toothbrush?
Oh, you had everything.
This is where we get to his money and his pension.
Oh, yeah.
As you mentioned earlier. Are the tips good? I'm not telling you, he replies. Taxman might find out.
Do you reckon he's a sole trader then? If he's
limited company.
Limited company.
Yeah.
Takes his wife out for a Christmas dinner on the bus.
Yeah. I don't want a 79-year-old man's tips declaring. I'd rather one more pothole in the world. His Christmas tips are his own business, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't want 24% or whatever it is, whatever he's getting given. Good luck to him. I'm on my own here for the rest of this link. Good luck to Colin and his paper deliveries. If you happen to be in the little waiting area, I imagine you've got a little wait on for your paper, given he's 79 years old. I can do it. Do you know what I mean? If I wanted to do telly stuff, I could do a light radio.
Yeah.
Right. I tell you what, Lindsay, you're going to have to do a story in a minute, and I'm going to laugh at something inappropriate when you're saying something.
I look
see if you
forward
can carry
to
on
it.
Being all professional and that. Right then, let's find out what Lindsay Santoro thinks should have had more chat in the press this week. And I'm going to be very respectful while she talks and delivers what I'm sure will be a carefully rehearsed and well thought out routine on a piece of news. Go on, mate. Sitting down for this one, aren't you?
Stand up if you want me to, or I'm up.
Yeah, go on, mate.
I'm squatting.
Jog on the spot.
A fox has gone on holiday. Any questions at this point? No.
Has Julia Donaldson bought the rights?
No,
I guess would be my first question.
A red fox that sneaked onto a cargo ship off the coast of Southampton has successfully made it thousands of miles across the Atlantic and is now in the care of the Bronx Zoo in New York City.
New York City!
And New York City.
Do you want to know the phrase. I love the phrase successfully made it as if that was its quest.
I'm successfully.
As if it knew what it was doing.
I'm going to make my fame and fortune in New York City.
It's telling all the other Southampton foxes, I'm going New York, mate. Don't you worry about that. I'm going New York. You ain't never going New York, Barry.
Well, he's made it, and he's, listen to this, he's got his whole life ahead of him. He's only two years old, and he weighs 11 pounds in New York.
That's one of those sentences that means I've no idea what the weight of a two-year-old fox should be. I'm a picturing a massive fox or a tiny fox.
My mum feeds a fox every night, a raw egg.
Does she know that the fox prefers a raw egg, or could she just not be bothered to cook it anymore?
No, they love a raw egg. They do love a raw egg, yeah.
I'm sure they'd love an omelette, given the chance, though.
Of course.
I'm not implying your mum's lazy. I'm just saying, just experiment. Maybe a few chives in there.
Listen, don't bite the hand that feeds you in all senses. But he's in New York. He's settling in well, says Keith, the zoo's director. He's staying there, apparently.
Keith. You don't get New York Keiths.
New York
That's the point at which you've lost me here. I can get on a fox wanting to go to New York and getting a ferry and living in the Bronx. But there's no Keiths in New York City. Absolutely not.
They're not really sure how the fox got on the cruise. Was it a cruise? I wouldn't say it was a cruise.
Anything's a cruise if you enjoy it. I guess if you're on water and you're having a good time, it's a cruise, isn't it?
No.
Is that the rules?
But he's staying over there. I think it's logistically easier just to keep him in New York than stick him back on a ferry.
Oh, yeah. P&O aren't taking him back, are they?
No, you're not insured.
Absolutely not.
You're not going to be insured, but he's having a lovely time.
I hope it was the QE2. He's got 1 year to get on Broadway. If within a year we're reading about him on Broadway, then it's news. And oddly, I'm thinking back through every cop movie I've ever seen, and I've never heard an exasperated chief superintendent saying, "Damn it, Keith!" Just convinced there's no Keiths in New York. I'll wait to be proved wrong. But that's the bit I'm not having.
But Keith said he's settling in well. I don't think he's got a name. Maybe we could name him.
Do you want to name the New York phone? Let's not say we. You've taken control of this story. You've read half of it and then brought it to the nation. Oh, I think you should name the fox.
Bianca.
Bianca the fox.
Bianca the fox.
Keith and Bianca. I love the idea of him getting off the ferry and meeting a guy called Keith. And surely not. Surely it's more exotic. All this way and the first person I meet is Keith. Not worth it. Should have stayed in Southampton. All right, well, good luck to the fox, and I look forward to hearing about... Can you visit the fox?
It doesn't say. Maybe.
Look here, Marjorie, it's a British fox.
It's Bianca the British fox.
Never in my life did I think I'd see a British fox. That was fun. I enjoyed that. I'm going to do that voice again on my way to the toilet in the next break, I tell you that. Looks like somebody's gone to the bathroom. Oh, it's the absolute radio fox. Well, if we've got anyone, I'm not listening now, obviously it's about 4 o'clock in the morning, but if you're a podcast listener or you're a show catcher-upper in New York and you can go down and verify that Keith is, not Keith's doing well, don't chat to the zoo director.
At the Bronx Zoo, apparently.
Go and visit Bianca, if you can send us a picture of Bianca, all the better. That was news that wasn't in the news that could, would, or should have been in the news. Coming up, we've got a wonderful email from a listener about being in the wrong place at the right time.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show. How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
It's the John Richardson Show here on Absolute Radio, where, if you were listening last week, you'll know we discussed the news story about a football fan from Barcelona travelled to the wrong city in the UK ahead of their Champions League tie, the wrong St James's Park. I assume that fan actually was at the home leg this week, where they saw Barcelona thrash Newcastle. So all's well that ends well, I guess. You're a big football fan, aren't you, Lindsay?
Yeah, I like Jack Grealish.
Yes.
He's got a nice hair band.
He has got a lovely Alice band. Mm. It's his calves most people like.
Oh, I do like them as well. And I like That's it. I think that's it for me, football.
Are you like any footballers who aren't from the Midlands?
Name me one, I'll tell you what I think.
Calvin Phillips.
No, don't know him.
Okay. It's like Jack Grealish, but better and fitter. Anyway, that'd be weird if I ever bump into him. This week, we had a few messages, actually, about people who've had a similar thing happen to them. During the week, we had an anonymous email that just deserved to be read out in full. It says, "Hi, John. When my now ex's best friend was getting married, the ex's dad, Les, was hired to video the wedding." There's already a lot going on there. Anyway,
there's a lot to unpick, but we haven't got time.
Someone's best mate's getting married. They've hired their dad to video the wedding. I would say already, as the dad, I'm a bit annoyed about that.
That's literally the first thing. I was like, he shouldn't be getting paid.
But also, like, that's the role, isn't it? Isn't the dad quite a big deal on a wedding day? You don't need to be tacking other jobs on. I'll tell you what, Les, if you can film it, and then, Mum, if you don't mind doing the catering. Absolutely ridiculous. Auntie Val's made the suits. Hiring everything out. Anyway, so Les is videoing the wedding. Roll on wedding day. Everyone's at the church, except for Les. As he had a strop, you wonder. As he felt how we felt. Ceremony starts. No Les. Bride starts walking down the aisle. No Les. Wedding finishes. Les turns up at the reception to reveal he had gone to the wrong church. Not only had he gone to the wrong church, he had videoed the entire wedding of a complete stranger, completely oblivious to the looks of a bunch of strangers. I've never seen a man so mortified in my life as he was at the reception in the ensuing weeks. Much hilarity ensued at his expense. Good on ya, Les. I mean, you've got to ask about all the people who didn't intervene at the other wedding. Who's that guy? I don't know. Well, he's filming it, yeah.
But the thing is, you hire people, you don't really know who they are. They could just be...
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that said, we're having a pop at people who might not know who the videographer is. I think probably most of the criticism has to lay at the floor of the man who didn't identify his own child at a wedding.
Oh, no, so it wasn't the dad of the person getting married, it was the dad of the ex, and it was the ex's best friend that was getting married.
Oh, I see. The exes.
It's all coming together now.
There's
like Murder,
too many
She
exes
wrote.
Here. Yeah. There's too many exes here. And you get into it and then you realise that actually, the fact that all these weddings have failed is just evidence
all,
that, you know.
It's all falling into place, isn't it?
Les made the right call.
Yeah.
You don't Les need got a vibe
that.
Early on.
Yeah, you don't need that footage anyway. Yeah. You're never going to watch it, are you?
You're not going to watch it back. That's it. I bet Les didn't even go to another church. That was just a better excuse. He just recorded an episode of Only Fools and Horses. This is going to age better than this wedding, I'll tell you that.
I had a man at my wedding, a chimney sweep just turned up and put a penny in my shoe, and I didn't know that was a thing that people do, and it really freaked me out.
It used to be a kid, didn't it? Like in the olden days, it would be a child chimney sweep.
Oh no, this guy was a 78-year-old paper boy.
If you've had a story as embarrassing as that of going to the wrong place at the right time, let us know. john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Now, it's that time of the week when we discuss the misuse of the word literally. But as ever, as the nation's pedantry police, we're always happy to take on another quibble of yours. We've got a couple coming up later in the literal police. But before then, there was an inquiry this week on the hotline from Stephen about a different annoyance from the literal police. Here's Stephen.
Hi, John. I have a bugbear that I'd like to share with you, and while it's not a literal offence, I was wondering if it may fall into your remit and if there's anything you can do. Recently, I found myself getting increasingly irritated by inaccuracies on TV, and one of the worst offenders of this is Gladiators. They just started a new round called Suspension Bridge. The game is simple. One contestant attempts to walk across a bridge while a gladiator hits them with a padded stick. My issue is,
it's good,
the bridge
isn't it?
Is not even a suspension bridge. It is at best a simple beam footbridge. This is a TV show kids watch, and inaccuracies like this will breed the next generation of literal offenders. Is there anything you can do to help? Many thanks. Steve.
Oh, I think I love everything about that. I'd have to listen to it again to be sure. But just the severity in his voice talking about... I've recently become very upset about inaccuracies, mostly on the show Gladiators. I mean, From that point onwards, Stephen, you absolutely had me. You've seen it.
Yeah.
So it's not a suspension bridge, as in it's not suspended from...
Well, it's a bridge, isn't it? They do loads of different random bridge things where they're trying to hit each other off bridges. There's one where
and
they...
And the whole show is that, innit?
A big person trying to hit a little person with a stick. From a ceiling, like a Sky Electrics, and run around upside down like dogs. that's quite good. Like scurrying.
Dogs have you seen?
You know, like a dog when it scurries.
Oh, that sounds good.
The other bridge one I like is the gladiators have to swing on a rope as they're running across a bridge.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't it always end with a gladiator that loses momentum and is just hovering over the bridge with their legs wide open, waiting for the contestant to sort of be enveloped?
Grab them like a crab.
Like a sort of well-built spider, ripped spider. Come here, little fly.
It's very good. It's very good. It's wholesome, isn't it, really?
Listen, Stephen, I appreciate your email, and you're exactly right. It is banging my remit. When you say, I wonder if you can do anything about it, I can't do anything about anything, mate, but I will have a whinge. All I'm going to say is, I would suspect maybe it's a pun. Life is less about finding an answer and just finding about a solution that helps you move on with your life. I'm going to say, perhaps it's about the suspense, as in the dramatic suspense of whether the contestant is going to get across a bridge, and perhaps it's a pun title, a suspension bridge of will they get across the bridge? I'm in suspense about it. So how I'm going to choose to move forward.
It's not.
Okay, well then we have to just live in a world where we'll never have another Inzimbard Kingdom Brunel, because we're training our children to be morons who cannot identify different types of bridges. Whichever makes you happier. Two reports to get to this week. The first from Mick.
Hi, John. I have a literal offence to report. While watching the Great British Menu on Sunday, when the winner was chosen, the host, Andy Oliver, claimed the chef that lost literally cooked their socks off. I don't think this was the case, and even if it was, it would be a big safety hazard to admit to live on national TV. Please investigate. Thanks, Mick.
Did you cook? I really like that image of someone cooking so hard their socks fly off.
Yeah, presumably the shoes would have to go first. Yeah. You can't somehow... Or maybe your body gets so hot the sock goes first. The sock sort of melts from within the shoe.
Oh, see, I've got visions of it, like, expelling itself away from the body.
Yeah, whizzing off. Mm. It sounds like it's an open and shut case. Mm-hmm. Let's have a listen to Andy Oliver on this week's Great British Menu.
Chefs, once again, thank you so much. Congratulations, Nikita. Commiserations, but also congratulations, because you've literally cooked your socks off, both of you.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Yeah, it feels like
both
it.
Both of you.
She's felt her socks go.
Yeah, so she gets it. She gets a metaphor. She's saying it feels like I have Andy. I think she's a member of the literal police there. I think that's what that is. She's saying, yes, it feels like it, Andy, but I haven't, though, have I? Because that's not possible. So she's fine, that chef. She can carry on. Andy, it's a shame I like Andy Oliver. She's a good presenter. She's got a lovely tone. Because even though it's really high-end food, occasionally she just looks really upset with him. She sounds really cross with him. Do you know, I got offered just before I went vegan, just after I went vegan, they offered me the Great British Menu, like, do you want to be the comedian who comes in and eats all the food? And I had to go, I don't think I can eat any of the food.
I think that's
a problem. Anyway, I'm perfectly fine with that decision. I'm not bitter at all. Andy Oliver goes to jail for 10 years. another report comes in this week from Matthew, who says, hello, John, I have a literal offence to report. Scrolling through Instagram the other day, I saw a clip promoting the film Frankenstein from last year. You need to have a word with your algorithm, mate. Thinks you haven't caught up with modern movies. In the promo, filmmaker Guillermo del Toro claims quite literally every scene is a painting. Seems open and shut to me. Book 'em. Thanks, Matthew. Brief moment here to discuss what happened in the preparation for this link, where producer Will revealed he didn't know who Guillermo del Toro was. I said, you must watch Pan's Labyrinth. Lindsay drew eyes on her hands and did a 30-second synopsis of Pan's Labyrinth that it turns out is better than the film itself. Anyway, let's hear the offence.
Quite literally every frame in the movie is a painting.
Okay.
Have you seen it? Have you seen the film, John?
I haven't seen the film, but I'm trying to think whether No, it can't be because it isn't painted. Yes. I mean, that's what it comes to. I know what he's trying to say is each frame, if we were to pause any frame, it looks like a work of art, I think is what he's trying to say. Mm. Far be it from me to correct Guillermo del Toro. But since I'm not in any of his films, nor am I on Great British Menu, I can't see any reason not to convict. Can you? Any defence at all for Gizza, as I call him?
Gizza? Old Gizza? Yeah. I've seen the film. It's definitely not painted.
You've seen it?
Yeah, it's that tall boy everybody loves.
The tall boy? Stephen Merchant?
No, not
he's
that
never
tall.
In it.
Not that tall. It's an
Gizza zap in the old neck. Bring us back to life.
Literally it.
I've made the classic Frankenstein's monster mistake there, haven't I?
You have, that's, yeah.
People are listening thinking you've done an impression of Frankenstein's monster there, saying you're Frankenstein. Yeah. But all those people who would be that annoyed, they turned off ages ago when I did a Hannibal Lecter voice but did a quote from Buffalo Bill in the film. They've been sat on that for an hour. That's not a line from Hannibal. You've just done it in a Hannibal voice. Anyway, joining Andy Oliver in prison, Guillermo del Toro. Anyway, if you spot a literal offence that can perk me up and drag me out of the quagmire I've just put myself into, email John at absoluteradio.co.uk. Welcome back to Absolute Radio with John Richardson, Lindsay Santoro, producer Will, and nobody else. You get more in an Olympic rowing event than in this studio, and look what we're churning out, and all they're doing is going along a bit of water. Oh, and we've also got the beast from Pan's Labyrinth. do the noise again. There we go. If you haven't seen the film, that'd be flashbacks for people who've seen it. Oh, I know it. Couldn't picture it before, but with that noise, I know exactly the film you mean. Now, I'm not saying it's great being on a national broadcaster, but you do get perks that just make life worth living. I don't know what comes into other radio shows. I think I saw, was it Ben Burrell this week talking about having been sent a new Frey Bentos pie? So, you know, presenters are getting sent stuff. It's not like this that's come in this week from Selena.
Hi, John. You may not remember, but last year you covered the World Worm Charming Championships. And as we head towards the summer, the day is getting closer. So I wanted to offer a formal invitation to you, Lindsay, Angela and Susie to see if you'd like to come along and try your hand at charming some worms on Saturday the 13th of June. We would love to have you guys here. I hope you can make it. Selena.
Yes.
Do you want to think about it?
No, I want to go.
No.
I hope
Saturday
I'm free.
Saturday the 13th of June.
Oh my gosh, I'll cancel everything. I am going. Oh, it's my friend's 40th. Never mind, I will go see the worms instead. She'll understand.
That'd be an evening do, wouldn't it, that?
Mm-mm.
The 40th, you could do both.
Well, will they not have like a worm prom at the end? You know, like when there's a festival they all have a disco?
Like Wimbledon, where the male and female champions used to have a dance together after the tournament.
I don't know if that's something. I don't know if you're making that up, but it sounds convincing. Is that what they did?
There used to be a ball at the end of Wimbledon, and the male champion and the female champion used to... I think they've stopped it now because it's 2026. However, you still can't wear a purple top at Wimbledon. So, you know, you pick the rules you want to keep and the ones you don't. Anyway, that's Wimbledon. They do what they want. I'm not criticising Wimbledon either, by the way. If they've got any tickets knocking about, I'm not just into worm charming. You know, I'm happy to do the worm charming Wimbledon final double in case they're listening as well. You're going then.
I'll go, yeah.
We'll get on to Susie. We'll get on to Angela. I'm up for it. I think it probably is the weirdest thing. We've been invited to the Excel World Spreadsheet Championships and the World Worm Charming Championships.
Did you go to the Excel? Because that looks amazing.
No, do you know why we didn't go?
What?
It's in Vegas.
Oh, no, too far off the computers.
It's far, but, you know, you just suspect there are people there. If you've spent your life getting very good at Excel spreadsheets, I would speculate you're going to see things in Vegas that are going to put your life on a very different path.
I love an Excel spreadsheet. Little mail merge, email everybody. Like they've been individually contacted. You haven't?
Yeah.
I love them. Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Sorry, was that you enjoying a spreadsheet or are we back to Pan's Labyrinth?
No, a bit of both.
Very similar noises. That's Lindsay Santoro's impression of the beast from Pan's Labyrinth. Dude. Emailing everybody from an Excel spreadsheet. So, hot off the back of our invitation to the... I realise now I'm going to have to get in touch with Selena and check how many other people have been invited. I don't want to turn up there and find the other DJs are there. I don't want to find out I've been scammed and actually it's just a scheme to get maximum coverage for the World Worm Charming Championship.
How does it work? I've heard the word worm charming. Is it just people screaming at grass? Like, what do they...
If screaming's your technique, Lindsay, then you go for it. I think there are other things you do. I think you divide up a patch of land into grids. You each get a grid and it's down to the competitors to tempt up as many worms as they can from their grid. I don't think many of them do it by screaming.
I reckon you shite at one end, it'll make them come out the other.
Dig a little hole and scream into it. Yeah. I'd love to see it. Okay. I think it's mainly sort of tapping and things like that they do. Maybe they... Oh, I'd love to hear Lindsay Santoro singing worms out of the ground somewhere near Crewe. Anyway, we're going to go because we don't get invited too much. But have you... I mean... Most of ours are professional, I think. You'll get invited maybe onto a show or to do a thing that you think, I don't think you know which one I am. However, I'll take it.
I know what you're egging for. And I'm
go
not...
on, talk about... Well, it's usually Angela here who's done these things and has done better than I have. I'm really looking forward to having a lovely chat about a show you've done where I can share in your misery.
I did Comet Relief, Weakest Link. God, that's very last minute. I mean, you've got to watch it. I swear to God, Ramesh mumbles. Because he's doing the question and I don't know what he's saying, so I was just saying words at him.
I'm going to say you didn't win then.
Yeah.
Did you win your way through to another round?
Only because someone else was... worse than me, which I thought was going to be impossible.
This is going to sound worse than it's meant to, and I don't mean it to, but when I say who was worse than you, I don't mean it like who was worse than you. I just mean who was worse than you.
Lovely lad, Eli Hart, wonderful, won the BBC New Comedian thing.
He's
been ill, so he's got brain fog, so he's got an excuse. But I'm so glad he was ill because it means I just redeemed myself ever so slightly.
Oh, I tell you what, I'm going to watch that this afternoon. That's what I'm going to do this afternoon. Did you, when you took it, did you think, I shouldn't be doing this? Or did you just think, fine.
I got offered it and I thought, oh, it's for charity. I'll do it for charity. But I guess with for charity, you have to actually win things for charity. So really, I was more of a hindrance than a help. It was fine. It was just one of those where as soon as the lights went, I thought, I don't know why I've done this to myself.
I got offered mostly I get offered stuff that was meant for someone else. When it really jars and you think, well, why have you offered, like during lockdown, for example, I got offered, would John be up for, this was from a well-known national fast food retailer, would John be up for going to one of our drive-thrus and performing stand-up to people who arrive at the drive-thru? To encourage people, this is during Eat Out to Help Out. Would John encourage people to come out to a drive-thru and eat burgers by performing stand-up? And you just think, at what point did you even...
How many people have said no for it to get to you?
Oh, well, that brings me to the other one I got offered, which was for an airline. They said... would John like to do a thing? We're all about promoting this thing and he'd need to do a number of videos and he'd come on a flight and he'd do this and he'd do that. And then at the end of the email it said, and perhaps he'd like to bring along his father, Michael. And you think, Jack White, all you wanted there. That's Jack White, all you wanted there. I mean, at least check the whole email before you send it back on to someone else. Absolutely unbelievable. Oh, God. It will surprise no one, Lindsay, that we're inviting you back to Absolute Radio.
Oh,
you're welcome back anytime. I have to tell you, obviously, when you're not here, other people sit in that chair. One of the people who sits there.
One of the people who is sitting there.
Yeah, that's the right grammar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is Angela Barnes.
Lovely Angela, yeah.
Something happened recently that in my role as a snitch... I feel it's only fair to make you aware of. So this is what happened when Angela was sat exactly where you are a couple of weeks ago.
Hello, I'm Lindsay Santoro. Is that what? No, I can't do it.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I think if you've got to say the name of the person you're doing the impression of, it's sort of the impression's not flying. Just to make very clear, the laughter you can hear there is Will. I was not laughing. I was offended. On your behalf.
I don't think that's that bad. That does sound like me.
Oh, well, that's good. Is it because you're saying, hello, I'm Lindsay Santoro?
Yeah, it does make it very obvious. Like you say, if you've got to say the name of the person...
I just offer you your right to reply. You can credit Angela and move on, or
I'll do an impression of Angela. I love bunkers, and I've got a dog. There you go. No.
Yeah, again, it's more of a description of Angela Barnes in your voice.
I love a bunker and a dog and them cars that go...
Yeah, so she's not... I don't know if you quite captured what an impression is, Lindsay.
Hang on, Angela Barnes
is not from the West Midlands.
What's the voice sound like?
Well, she's from the South Coast.
She's a bit poshy. Hello, I like bunkers and I wear
go out in the second round on weakest link.
I wear glasses and I've got legs and arms.
There we go. Dame Helen Mirren there.
I've got nothing bad to say about the woman. She can take the mick out of me as much as she likes. She's a delight.
You don't have to say something bad. You just have to do a regional accent, roughly. I'd say anywhere within 50 miles of where Angela's from.
Well, who knows where? The world is moving and we're all friends.
Wow. Who'd have thought inviting Lindsay to do an Angela Barnes impression would end with you disproving the idea of geography? Do you know where she's? Well, we're all moving, aren't we? Brighton, Birmingham, they'll be the same place in 10 years. Sort of going back to the idea of Pangaea, that one day we'll all, the world will once again be one big lump and we'll just have the same accent.
I haven't thought about Pangaea for ages.
Well, there you go. Blast from the past. I'm like the new Peter Kay. You remember Pangaea? Remember when you could walk from the west coast of America right across to the edge of Russia, eh? Who remembers that? Yeah. Okay. Well, that hasn't gone the way I intended, but it is a thing, and it's happened. We've still got to name the podcast of this show, and we've still got to issue the appraisals at the end. So just a little bit of warning, Lindsay. I'm going to come to you shortly, and you can tell me ways that I could have done better today. You'll know I'm not inviting the listener to do that. So don't get in touch, john@absoluteradio.co.uk, with ways I can improve. So that is almost it for today's John Richardson show on Absolute Radio. But if you haven't heard the whole thing, if you just heard the last bit and you're like, oh, I wish that went on a bit longer. Well, it did. We've been here ages. What have you been up to?
You've
been lounging around in bed, being in love with each other, have you? Or spending time with your kids. You stop that from next week onwards. You sit through the entire 3 hours like we have to. Or if you want a more upbeat one, there's a podcast of the whole show available on the Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No one can see what happened. You did a whole movement.
Didn't even realise I was doing it.
The end of a pantomime. That was really quite. It's unnerving, I'd say.
It's been a big few minutes, this, because I didn't realise I was doing the arm thing. And I didn't realise I was tapping earlier until Will said, there's a lot of tapping going on. And I was just tapping out a little rhythm that only I could hear in my head. It's a bit like Jumanji. I feel like the Jumanji game's been buried in my lower intestine. And it's just dum-dum-ba-dum-dum-ba-dum-dum-ba-dum. Nope. Not having that reference?
I'm not biting. You just sit with what you've said.
Oh, no, don't. I can't do that. That's why I speak so fast. Just move on to the next sentence. Do you know, every week I come and I think... Just talk slower this week. What is the rush? You still, it doesn't make time go faster, does it? If I speak faster, the show doesn't end earlier. I just say more. I just think, just slow down. What is the rush? I can talk at this pace, can't I? And it's fine.
I'm trying not to speak just to see how long you'll go on for.
Yeah, I feel like people analyse what you say more if you speak slowly. It has an implied gravitas to it that you're saying, this is important. Whereas I think if I speak fast, it's more like I'm falling off a cliff trying to finish the show before I hit the ground. That's the vibe I'm going for. The podcast is available. Listen to it on 1.5 speed if you want. Crack through that. We give it a witty pun title. Will calls it whatever he wants. What would you call the show if you were naming it this week, Lindsay Santoro?
I want to call it Bianca the Fox's Holiday.
Oh, there was the MasterChef Socks as well. Oh, and yeah. There is a book called Fox's Socks. Perhaps
Bianca the Fox's Socks.
Bianca the Fox's cooked off socks.
Yeah.
And that is one you do need to say slowly. You notice I slowed right down there. Oh, I went into first gear and I made it up the hill. So the podcast of this week's show, I've Googled as well, because we also talked about suspension bridges, and the Brooklyn Bridge, which is where Bianca the Fox has gone, is a if you're wondering, Brooklyn Bridge is a cable stayed suspension bridge. So it's this week's podcast. This is the longest title ever. Bianca the Fox with a cooked off socks underneath a cable stayed suspension bridge. There you go. That's catchy, isn't it? The idea is to make it catchy. I've basically just read out the transcript of the entire show there.
Well, we know Will's just going to call it whatever he wants anyway when we go off and he does his computer things.
He does his thing anyway. Do you think he talks about us with his other shows, or do you think he's ashamed of us?
I think he's WhatsApping his friends right now.
Yeah, that's it. He's on the rock and roll football WhatsApp group saying, yeah, they've done it again, guys. Can't wait to see you. Okie dokie, that's it for this week's show. Sarah Champion is standing by. Then it's rock and roll football with Fordy and Dyson. Hopefully live updates from Nottingham Forest's impending relegation alongside Tottenham Hotspur's Leeds United cruise to safety in the Premier League. If that's all too much for you, want a bit of an indie disco, well, that's what Andy Bush is here for at 5. And then it's a classic rock party with Claire Sturgis. And then it's Sunday, and I'm not responsible for how you handle your Sunday. You've just got to sort your own lives out at some point. I can only do so much for you, can't I? I mean, I've done my best.
Is this your best?
True, actually. I can only do what I've done. We like to end by looking back and looking at our performance today and just saying how could we improve? And is there anything, Will or Lindsay, that you'd like to make me aware of that I've done today, apart from your constant references to physical movements that I'm not sure I'm making me even surer of my impending breakdown?
Well, you've got restless legs. It's anyway. Will, fantastic. No compliments. John, you are schlumping a bit.
what is schlumping before I decide whether I'm offended or not?
You've not now. You've sat up.
Right.
You were schlumping. I'm worried about your lower back. And you've kind of got the attitude today of someone who's coming from the wet.
These sort of poetic show appraisals.
You're happy to be in, but you're still thinking about the wet. Now,
I think,
other than that, nothing. You've been the same as you always are.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you could have said. I prefer you've got the vibe of a damp man. Lindsay, earlier on, you started off with obviously the jingle for Susie Ruff's feature.
About that.
I mean, what a way to launch yourself into the show. Just absolutely wonderful. And we'll be playing that back next week. Don't you worry about that. Low light, I mean, the impression of Angela Barnes. I mean, you did not even change your voice at all. You just said things that Angela might say in your voice. I think it's the worst impression of anyone that's ever been done. What saved you, and I always like to let the listener know what's happening off air, because there is no gap between on-air Lindsay and off-air Lindsay. Your off-air speculation that the future of transport would be catapults. I mean, there's so much talk of hoverboards and teleport, and it's nice to see someone say, why haven't we got to catapults yet? Why can't I be catapulted from the studio back to Birmingham? Oh, what a joyful conversation that was.
Dear.
Aside from what you said to me 30 seconds ago when I said the appraisal's coming up and I feel like you've had quite a good show, that was brutally offensive. But I actually think you've had one of your best weeks, Will. Thank you for all your work during the week putting the show together so I look like I know what I'm doing when I get here. And I can only compare you to Charlie, who not only is not here this week, but manages to become the must-improve player by 2 days ago sending me a picture of her holding an award that she'd been given for another show she works on, which is just deplorable behaviour. Look how successful I am when I'm not being weighed down by you on a Saturday morning. So that is behaviour that cannot be allowed to continue. And as for you guys listening, what can I say other than thank you for joining us? Thanks for all your voice notes, your emails, your texts. Thank you, Lindsay, very much indeed. Will, good luck to yourselves and Torquay United in their failed promotion push Saturday. What? You said it was failed. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. Take care. Bye.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
There you go. That's this week's show. Massive thank you to Lindsay. Who's...
Oh, sorry. Are we doing
Haven't you finished?
Sorry. Are we doing the end now? Sorry.
Yeah, I don't. I'm no stranger to a yawn, but the fact that you turned away from the mic to yawn into the mic, which is a technique I've not seen done before. It's usually done the other way around.
You're welcome.
Yeah, sip of a caffeinated drink. I'd say a minute too late.
Hang on.
Oh, it's is not it caffeine free?
Caffeine free.
Oh, okay.
Because I drink them at bed, don't I?
Yeah, you want to get the proper stuff. You might not yawn into your microphone at the end of a 3-hour workday. Anyway, thank you very much, Lindsay. We look forward to seeing you again soon, by which time I will have run 28 kilometres and you will have run 5 kilometres in boots.
Oh, did I really agree to that?
Not really, but I just told you were doing it.
All right, well, I'll just tell you I've done it. That sounds good.
There you go. There we go. This is not a democracy. This is a dictatorship, and I am the dictator. Have a wonderful time with your lives. Good luck with all your endeavours. Safe onward journey.
All the best.
Give us 3 bells when you get in.
All the best.
Just
great
drop us an
lads.
Email. All the best. Much love. Send my best to Brenda when you see her. I hope everything's cleared up there with that cream. And we'll see you next Saturday at 8 a.m. on Absolute Radio. Or not. If finally the bosses tune in, it might be the last one. But we'll see. Bye, everyone.